Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 355. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Larry here.
And Anthony here.
And we are recording in the new year this
That's
time.
Right. It is 2024 officially.
Yes.
We are recording on New Year's Day.
We are, yes. Thank goodness. I am off from work. We're off from work. But not this job.
No. When it comes to retro gaming or gaming in general, we never take a day off.
No. And truth be told, we won't go into details. This is kind of my fault why we're doing it today. But it works out for the better.
Yes. Yes. Larry had a. I'll go into the details. Larry had a.
Was not much to it.
Yeah. Larry decided he needed one more snafu in 2023. When we recorded this episode yesterday on New Year's Eve, he forgot to hit the record button.
I did. So if the enthusiasm is now at like a 70, mm-hmm. that's why. Because a lot of we're basically redoing it. But
we're basically redoing it, and I have a cat on my lap this time around. So
you do. That's a little different.
Well, Link's feeling like he needs some extra attention this morning. He wants some New Year's love.
Look at that Poonam.
Yep, there it is.
Look at that. Wow.
Look at that face.
Very Voltron-like.
He is.
I don't think he's the defender of this universe, though.
No. He's the defender of his food bowl.
Aren't we all?
Yes. Well,
oh my gosh.
Depends how hungry we are.
Well, now that it's New Year's Day, we got through New Year's Eve.
We did.
And the ball dropped, and we were able to successfully get into 2024. But there was that story was funnier yesterday.
Yeah, well, do you want to share that story again?
I'll share it, yeah.
So I can make fun of you?
Why not? We can do it again. And what's funny enough is, because, you know, everything's always listening. You know, Siri's always listening, and I don't have Alexa's somewhere around here. I thought if the ball in Times Square didn't make it down in time, I thought we had to repeat the year. I was a very stupid child. So
yes.
I'm pretty sure confirmed. There was a lot of issues that, like, you know, that nowadays are present that a lot of people probably ignored back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's something going on with me.
Yeah. Well, considering the fact that the New Year's ball didn't exist for all of time.
Okay. Again, you know, when I'm like kid, seven, I don't know this.
I know. Yeah, your logic was a little flawed.
But I did learn a lot of stuff about when I was watching some of the shows yesterday. A lot of interesting stuff about the New Year's Bowl. But anyway, so I thought if it didn't drop in time that we had to repeat the year. And like for a long time, because also in the 80s, you know, parents didn't really hang out with their kids. So I was shuffled off to my grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time I remember celebrating New Year's, my parents was like, I don't know, like almost like when I was like 10 or 12. Mm. But in any event.
Well, because they were still getting their party on.
They absolutely were. And they were like, you know what? We do not want kids at this party. So
that's right.
All of you stay home. And I wish I could say that now. But in any event. So I thought it didn't. If the ball didn't drop, we had to repeat the year. So I'm white knuckling it through New Year's Eve while my grandparents are now, you know, sound asleep at this point.
Yeah. At which point I ask you once again, like, what happened in your childhood that you were so traumatized?
It's not a trauma.
As to making up things like if the ball doesn't drop, we repeat. It's like you're getting left back. Like you failed the year. Makes no sense.
Okay.
Even as a
kid. I was eight. I don't know what, you know, PhD you were going for at like 10. But for me, I had a childhood.
Actually, it's up on my wall right there.
I had child innocence, and I thought, because no one told me otherwise, so I came up with it. I was a very imaginative kid.
Definitely a kid, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, like people, kids nowadays, you know, playing sports and stuff.
How dare they?
it was much funnier yesterday. But in any event, afterwards, later on that night, or throughout the day of New Year's Eve, like twice on social media, the scene from The Simpsons. Where there's a part where they're like, you know, they're in Springfield, 10,
oh, yeah.
8, and the ball stops. And 10, 9, 8, 8, 8, 8.
Oh, will this horrible year never end?
We've never lost a year before, and I'll be damned if we're going to lose one on my shift.
Let's
I didn't necessarily want 2023 to repeat anyway, so
I didn't mind 2023. So but 2024 gung-ho, and yes, we're gonna be gung-ho on this podcast as we go on, so you'll see some really cool stuff happening,
hopefully.
But we will, yes. But with yesterday's snafu, though, it actually gave me a moment to add something to the podcast that wasn't part of yesterday.
Yes, because you just had to go shopping on New Year's Eve.
I did. I wanted to go over to Patchogue Game On, say Happy New Year.
Give those credit cards a last minute gift.
I honestly wasn't expecting to do much, but I did do much. So we're just going to get right into this.
What did you do?
I bought a couple. Actually, I bought three games. And one Master System, two TurboGrafx.
Very nice. Well, TurboGrafx makes sense. Got to add to that collection.
I sure do. So with the Master System.
What'd you get?
What is this? Special Criminal Investigation. Whoops, there we go.
The SCI.
Yes, a wonderful arcade game. Let me see.
So is that where CIS got their show from?
Possibly. Are they in Sydney now, I think?
I don't know.
The Aussies are starting to make it in the U.S.
I don't pay attention to CSI. There are too many. They're either too many of them, or it's just been on too long, or both. Bum, bum.
So very, nice. Very cool arcade game. And
box looks great.
This system holds up as well for an 8-bit system. And then for two TurboGrafx games, one of which I looked at it. So I see the problem with TurboGrafx games are these are the back of the TurboGrafx boxes. They're blank.
Yes.
So there's 100%. So there's no way to tell at all what the game looks like. So this is called Tricky Kick.
So imagine what it was like in the store.
Exactly.
Like when it was wrapped and you couldn't like open it and look at the book.
Because I don't remember. I don't think they came in boxes. Remember for a while CDs were coming in. They came in those long boxes.
That's a very good question because I never ever looked at.
Yeah, neither have I. Or at least I don't remember. But in any event. So it's a game called Tricky Kick. I'm like, all right, let me look it up. Cause as I do, usually I'll just hop on YouTube real quick to take a look. And it's a puzzle game. It's actually a very fun puzzle game where basically, long story short, you're in, there's like six or seven different characters. So each one has like a different theme to it, but the game is the same. It's a single screen game. And you basically just have to kick items to match the two. When they match the two, they disappear.
Oh, okay.
So that's basically cool what puzzle it is. Game. Absolutely. So I picked that up. I thought that was really cool. And then I did pick up a game that for the longest.
I don't think I'm just looking really quickly. I don't think there were boxes outside of what you're looking at.
No. Okay. Yeah. I never put two and two together on that one.
Yeah. Like I'm just looking at them now. It's like interesting. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, wait. I stand corrected.
Did they?
They had boxes.
Did they? I wonder what did they?
I'm looking on eBay right now. Cardboard boxes that the disc would come out of.
Okay.
So interesting. Yeah. So they had the disc case, went in the cardboard box. Yep.
And the back of the box
was so, yeah, you found one.
You know what? I think I do remember these. Now kind of seeing them. Yeah.
See now I don't remember them because I'm not kidding you when I say like TurboGrafx 16 never registered.
Oh, same.
On me, except for one friend who had it. But
everyone had that one.
Everybody had one, but like I never really, I never looked at them in the store or anything because I was always like,
true,
Nintendo and Sega. That's all I did.
Very true. But
Atari died.
All right, so they did have boxes. All right, cool. Well, anyway,
boxes.
So
problem solved.
For the longest time, I always remember again my one friend who had a TurboGrafx had this awesome game. It was like an RPG type game.
I'm shocked. Call
it RPG, and but I could never remember the name of it. But it was a like a Formula One RPG.
Oh,
Formula One racing. Okay. And I finally came across it only because I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, that looks like a cool racer. And then when I looked it up on YouTube, I'm like, this is the game that I always played at my friend's house. I don't know why I was obsessed with it. Final Lap Twin.
Nice.
And it is exactly that. It's kind of like this Formula One racing, maybe not Formula One, but racing RPG. You walk around the neighborhood, you challenge people. It's like Pokemon, but you know, four wheels. So
nice. So it's almost like in real life when you pull up to a red light and you look at the person across from you, they look at you, you start revving, and then and then you let them go get caught by the cops and you just cruise casually by.
That's how Marty ended up changing his future.
That is correct.
Yes. Oh, or Flea. What was his name in the movie?
Uh oh. What was Flea's name? Ooh, quick trivia question here. I can't remember.
Yeah, neither can I.
Oh, Needles. Well. Needles.
Thank you. Yes.
Needles.
All that kept coming to my head, though, was the boss. I monitored that scan of yours.
McFly!
You are terminated.
McFly!
Fujitsu-san, konnichiwa!
McFly! I was monitoring that scan you just interfaced. You are terminated!
Terminated? No! No! It wasn't my fault, sir! It was Needles! Needles was behind
and
the whole
you
thing!
You cooperated!
No, I didn't! It was a sting operation! I was setting them up!
Read my facts.
No! Please! No, I cannot be fired! I'm fired!
No, fax over the place, because that's what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah, in the future, everybody had a fax machine in every room, including closets.
If it was that easy to fire someone via fax like that, just two words, you're fired.
Yeah. Read my fax.
Coming out of the wall. And not for nothing, for 2015, they were still using dot matrix printers.
Yes, they were. Because unfortunately, that's what they had in the late 80s to use for the, you know.
Classic.
Awesome.
Classic. And then one final thing just to mention, as I was getting ready to ring in the new year, I was like getting bored for a little while because there really wasn't too much on TV I was watching. So I'm like, you know what? Let me pop in.
Were you watching Ryan Seacrest?
I watched him for 70 seconds because I tuned in 10 seconds before the ball started dropping.
Oh, man. So. I tuned in about, I want to say about a half an hour before.
Okay.
And here's what I learned. I learned, I guess, who Rita Ora is because I saw her for the first time.
Oh, wow. She's been around for a while, but it's shocked that she's still relevant. Was she a co-host?
Yeah, she was a co-host.
That's who that was. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that was her because they were like Rita. And I'm like, the only Rita I can think of is Rita Ora, unless it's somebody else. So
not Rutner.
Yeah, no. And not Wilson. So that I learned because, again, I'm so out of the loop with, you know, with music and everything today. I learned that. And I learned that for some reason, LL Cool J is still relevant as a rapper.
Right. And Flavor Flav. Rapper.
Yeah. I didn't even see Flavor Flav. I just saw LL Cool J.
Oh, that's right. No, Flavor Flav was on another show I was watching. Yeah. He was rapping with Brida.
Yeah, but he did like a whole, like LL Cool J did like a whole compilation because all of a sudden, like at the end, I hear Mama said, knock you out. And I'm like, what? I haven't heard that in so long.
Yeah. Flo Rida kind of did the same. He's like, where are my original Flo Rida fans? Then all of a sudden he's doing Apple Bottom Jeans. Mm. So after I got through all that and realizing that, by the way, Flavor Flav has a new song coming out January 10th. So be on the lookout.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
I ended up playing, you know what, for some reason I forgot I had it, and when it caught my eye, I'm like, oh, let me play. I played some Junior Pac-Man on my Atari 2600 Plus.
You have to justify that Atari 2600 of yours.
Yes, I do. And it's such a fun game, Junior Pac-Man. Right. It's, you know, it's the only difference really is just the board is like double the size as regular Pac-Man, so it was actually scrolling. So at the time, that was weird.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, so that's basically what I did, getting ready into the new year, and thus we move forward.
Very cool. Yes, we do. We do move forward because it is 2024. We're going to keep playing old games because, as Larry and I have stated over the last few months, I think 2023 was the year that we both admitted that we don't seem to be fit for newer games these days.
Not at all.
A lot of newer games. Although, you know, there are a handful, but for the most part, like games that are coming out where it's just like all they're talking about are the graphics and the story. And I'm like, what? But I want to play something.
Right. There's just nothing. Exactly. Just give me a linear game. Goes from left to right.
Yes. Good. So we're going to continue to focus on our retro gaming, which makes sense for this podcast, but also, you know, because that's what we love to do.
Yes, absolutely.
As Larry continues to buy third party consoles for ridiculous prices.
You get what you pay for.
Right. Ridiculous prices. While I sit here with my Polymega.
Yes.
Which Larry could have had, but canceled it 2 weeks before it.
Three weeks. Mm.
3 weeks before the notice came out. Yep. And the Polybank is actually going to be the focus of our episode today.
Yes, because you got a new peripheral Actually, not a peripheral, a module, as they call them.
I got a new module. Yes. I got a new module. On the you know, on the heels of the other modules that I ordered, and I'm waiting for.
That's awesome.
Yes. I have no idea how long those are going to take.
So. 2025, folks.
Yeah. Yep. The ball will be dropping, and I'll be like, nope, still waiting. Still waiting. So I did get a new module in the mail. Excellent. Which was awesome. And it was the Ultra 64.
Yes.
Which now I can play Nintendo 64 games on my Polymega.
That's awesome.
I'm very excited about, because the N64, I know it wasn't the most beloved system, but I have a special fondness towards that one, because that was, to me, the ultimate multiplayer system. Like, it hit us.
No, it did. It definitely hit us.
Yeah. At the right age.
Yep.
Like, that was the system we all played. Like,
absolutely.
The whole group of us.
Late teens, you know, getting ready to, you know, was finishing up high school, starting college. And exactly. Yeah, you're right. And just the built-in ability of the four players, you know, seeing the four inputs on the front.
Yeah.
And it led to some of the amazing days and nights and back into days of gaming that we did back then. So and you're right, and because even with me, and I've mentioned it before, not just as a system itself, just like things in my life with our friendship and just me in general, that like I can remember playing the N64 when something like that happened. You know what I mean? Or relating it with the N64. So that system always has a place. I can't wait for the analog, all joking aside, for the analog version to come out. And for a system that's always been apparently very difficult to emulate.
Yep.
Polymega is the first one out of the blocks with a clone system for the N64. And Ant, you've already had your hands on it and firsthand experience. So let's get your thoughts and ideas.
Yeah. So first thing I wanted to show was, do I not have the box over here? I do have the box over here. Okay.
Good thing we can hold for edit.
Yep. So, nope. I have the box right here.
Yes. Very shiny.
Yeah. Very shiny box. again, like, it's one of my, it's definitely one of my favorite box designs, period. I just love, again, the black.
It is very cool. It is very nice.
Yeah, the black seems very upscale. And then there's obviously the shiny piece.
Yeah.
But it just makes it very sleek, very clean.
The gloss finish.
Yeah, that gloss finish is really, really nice. So, and it's really awesome, you know, and it says on the back, you know, compatible with N64 game cartridges, obviously.
Excellent.
Comes with a premium wired retro controller, which I'll show in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously digitize your game collection, which means you can copy them to your straight to the Polymega hard drive, or you can play them off the cartridge if you want.
Yep.
And ultra low latency controller ports, which is very important.
That's always needed.
So we got that, really, really cool. And then here is what the module looks like.
Very straightforward. So, very nice.
Yeah. Very straightforward. So again, you know, you got the cartridge slot, and then you have four controller ports on the front, and you can use your original N64 controllers.
Yeah, legacy all the way.
Yep, because I have like five of them.
Which is weird, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, just very clean, very nice.
And just as a reminder, that will play out of box. It will play North American, European, and Japanese games right
plays
out of the box.
Plays all kinds. So next time I'm in Japan...
There you go.
I will be adding N64 games to my collection, because now I can play it.
That's something to look into. Some really good Japanese exclusives.
N64s, yeah. Really cool. And then here is the controller.
There's that little, almost, you know what? It's funny. It reminds me of that Saturn round analog controller.
It does.
Actually, so spittingly like it.
Unlike an N64 controller, it does not have the third handle.
The third prong.
The third prong in the middle. So they moved the joystick to the upper left corner and then put the D-pad underneath.
And that's an interesting design, especially if you're used to the original N64. I remember having a third-party controller that did not look like that exactly, but it did it moved some of the buttons around. I remember using it for a while.
Yeah, and then the other difference about this is that the Z button is it's like any other controller, because now, like, you know, PlayStation, all them, they have L1, L2, R1, R2, right on them. Well, this one has L and R, because N64 only had L and R up here, and they just moved the Z up top, and you have your option of which side you want to use the Z on, because it's on both.
Mm-hmm.
So it took, you know, It took a few seconds to get used to it, but once I started, there's a
learning curve, you know.
Yeah, there was a little learning curve, but I picked it up pretty quickly.
All right.
So it's very comfortable, and obviously on the back you can put your memory card in.
Yes.
Or your Rumble pack, or your transfer pack.
Yes, yes. And news did come out. I don't think it was official news. I don't remember if it was. I don't think it was official. But long story short, you can't play them yet, but you can rip the ROMs of Game Boy and Game Boy Color games by using the N64 transfer pack.
By using the transfer pack,
yeah. Which was a item that was used, but like sparingly. Like Nintendo really didn't go far into it. You just transferred Pokemon data to some Pokemon games,
yeah,
and some of the Mario Sports data from Game Boy to N64.
Yeah, but now it's definitely a change on that front since you can copy your Game Boy stuff over, which makes me excited because I have a handful of Game Boy games
that I would like to play. No.
And I only like to play them on my TV, and I use my Retro Freak to play them.
Yeah.
So now I can, again, I'm slowly moving everything off of the Retro Freak.
Okay.
So that I can just have a one miserable stop system. Shop. I love that system. Love that system. Worked really well since I bought it. It's just that now the Polymega is kind of taking its place, with the exception of like right now I don't have anything to play Game Gear games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
That'll be maybe the only thing left on the Retro Freak that I can't play on another Master System.
I think the adapter you have will let you play Master System games as well on the Retro Freak. That is
on the Retro Freak. I think I can. Yeah.
Yeah. So, not on this. At least not yet.
No, not yet. So yeah. So a little bit. But again, I have a Master System hooked up. So
yeah. And also a plus with the Polymega, when you do get like the Genesis module, that one, because again, Polymega there is none right now, and to play it is wicked with as far as soldering and stuff, but you'll be able to play the 32. I mean, not that it's a major library, but you can play 32X games straight out of the box,
which is great.
Yeah. Mega, which again, analog, you can do is wicked to try and get.
I mean, there are only a couple of games on the 32X
still, but it's still.
But yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's definitely a plus. Like the more I can play on the Polymega at this point, because that is my de facto retro console for a compilation, like the better.
Absolutely.
Again, I'm still looking forward to when they release firmware so that Dreamcast can be played on there. That's what I really want on there. Okay. But anyway, what I thought we would do for this episode is I transferred my N64 games to my Polymega. It took all of 30 minutes. Those games were small.
It's kind of weird, right? You would think they would be, again, even for the late 90s, you would think they would have been larger games.
Yeah, but I think I think the largest game I transferred was like 33 or 36 megabytes.
Really?
Yeah, they were, I was surprised with how small some of those games were, especially because the competition at the time, like PlayStation and Saturn, when I'm transferring like a PlayStation game off a disc,
yeah,
like a lot of them are, like some of them were smaller, but a lot of them were several hundred megabytes.
Oh, yeah, so, totally.
Yeah, so...
Did you notice a difference between ripping from a CD, not size-wise, but ripping from a CD versus ripping from a cart, like as far as speed of the...
Oh, the speed was the cart was instantaneous.
Okay, okay.
So, and the reason why, because when you put a game into the system, into the Polymega, it automatically starts to copy it.
Yes.
Now, you can choose whether you want to install it on your hard drive or just play it off the cartridge. But if you choose to install it off the hard drive, it's already like in the process of transferring. But because the N64 games are so small, by the time I got to the button to press like install to hard drive, it was already done.
That is quick.
Yeah. So it was super, super quick.
And on a quick side note, the capacity of N64 game packs were between, I got to find 32 to 512 megabits.
Megabytes? Or megabits?
Megabits. No, megabits.
Oh, okay.
So, but I'm curious what 512, what games those were. But in any event.
Yeah.
All right. So you ripped your, so you got your collection now on the Polymega.
I have my collection on the Polymega. I did take it for a test drive.
Excellent.
Which was really fun. And then what I thought I'd do is I would share. I did record some of the footage just to show kind of how it runs. So I'm going to share my screen. And you're going to tell me if you can see that or not.
I can definitely see that.
All right. So this is the Poly Mega menu, and I'll hit play and start this rolling. Okay. One of the things that you'll notice pretty quickly, the one gripe I have with the Poly Mega N64 controller is the Joy-Con. When it snaps back, it'll actually go in the opposite direction.
The analog stick. Okay.
Yeah, the analog stick. So I always say joystick.
Yeah, I know.
The analog stick. So you'll see it happens right away when I start moving the box over from PlayStation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a little bit. Like, I'm hoping like they have some type of update.
Oh yeah.
That will take care of that. Yeah. So anyway, this is my N64 collection. And again, thought I would, so I have a pretty healthy collection.
You do. Look at this.
And obviously, I had to start with Super Mario 64.
Who wouldn't?
So, of course. So I'm going to skip through.
Do what you got to do.
Some of the video, just so you can see, like, actually how it runs.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Mario in all of his glory. He's looking good and moving.
The days of Charles Martinet.
Yep.
All right. Look at him. He's going.
He's just going. I'm trying to remember everything. I'm also trying to teach myself the new Z button location.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we're learning in progress.
Yes, but you can see it runs very smoothly, if I'm just playing it on the N64.
Yep.
And off he goes, and we'll skip around a little bit.
Yeah, no problem.
There I am, just learning my jumps.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, for me, I don't know how big the learning curve. I mean, eventually it would happen. Don't get me. Oh, there he goes. King Babam,
who for some odd reason I had forgotten.
What
a pain. He
sticks on you like glue.
Yeah, you have to like walk away from him and then go back to there jump to the other side. But yeah, I had a little trouble with him for a while. I let him grab me for fun. And then he would just throw me off the mountain.
And just kill you instantaneously. Yeah.
But again, you can see how smooth it runs.
No, it definitely does. Yeah, there's no, and I know a lot of people out there, pixel perfect or whatever. And remember, it might seem a little jumpy, but Anthony's clicking through it first.
Yeah, I'm just like doing a spot run through this video because it's a long video.
And even if there was a little jumpy, only because remember, we're broadcasting it here and Zoom might mess it up. But I saw a cleaner version. I'm not saying it's not clean now, but I saw an action before Anthony was showing me video of it before we were recording. And it's right like from the original system.
Yeah. And as you can see, I'm struggling just to like shut the game.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That's the analog stick.
Wow.
That's the analog stick issue. Yeah. So, and again, like once I installed everything, I was like, I just wanted to go through a bunch of games to see how they ran.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I like about the games, and you'll see it a little bit later, is that there are cheat codes already installed in the console.
Yeah.
So when you install a game, you can access all the cheat codes. So of course, after playing Mario, I had to switch over to Zelda really quickly. Even though I know Zelda's a long game, I just wanted to get a nice look of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how it runs. And this stupid little knobby waking me up.
Hey.
But, here I am running through my little village, talking to people. And again, it looks to me, it looks exactly the way it does on the N64. And I have my N64 hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually make that comparison.
Okay. Yeah. As long as it looks the same. Again, a lot of people out there, we want, every pixel to be exactly in place. Please.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking for perfection. And again, mm-hmm. I'm also not looking for like an upgraded HD version. Like,
no, because of course.
That's remastering. That's a whole other thing.
Not for nothing. We have that on the GameCube.
Yeah. So So just capturing it as it was is really important.
No, that's very cool. And see, this is what's interesting as well. I'm kind of, THQ. Yep. I know where we're heading there.
Sorry. I'm switching over.
No, that's all right. because with the analog 3D, which is their N64, it's their first 4K system. And analog was always saying, like, to really truly get that look of the N64 and the polygons, really.
Yeah.
You need a 4K system. But this is not running in 4K, correct?
No.
I don't think the Poly Mega can run in 4K.
No, it is not running in 4K. Okay. I think mine right now runs 780.
Oh, really?
720, because I think the TV I have it hooked up to is 720,
which is fine. Yeah, I mean, originally these were like 480, so
yeah, exactly. Like, I need to upgrade my gaming TV to at least 1080. So, So we'll get into some No Mercy, which again was probably the game we played the most.
Oh my gosh.
When we were younger on the system.
Between that and WrestleMania 2000. And this is where the memory card really comes into play for us.
Yes, definitely. Because we would use the memory card to, you know, change the look of the characters. We would update it all the characters, time. Yeah, and which also prompted me, because when I put the memory card in the controller, it wouldn't read it. It was like, there's nothing on the memory card. And really? I'm like, well, yeah. So now it made me wonder, it's like, did I lose all of my saved material?
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to look at the memory card.
Right.
Because I had never done that when I was younger. So I went online to figure it out. And I found out that if you turn on your N64 and hold the start button, when you turn it on, you'll access your memory card. I had no idea of that when I was younger.
This to mention how I goofed up yesterday not recording. When you told me about this yesterday, I was flabbergasted. Never even heard of this happening. And when I went to Game On in Patchogue, Rob works there.
Yep.
And I told him about this. He was like, "What are you talking about?"
Oh, okay.
No. I'm like, yeah, apparently. And I didn't have the whole thing because I forgot what you how you had mentioned to do it. But and unfortunately, he didn't have an N64 set up,
so we
couldn't test it. But when you told me about I I'll pull it up when we're done recording. But and I might even I'll even put it in here. I don't even know what that screen looks like.
I have no clue. I had no clue. It was such a surprise.
So very interesting.
So again, here's some No Mercy.
The game's in the ring now.
Well, yeah, he didn't like the way the match was going.
No, he wasn't.
And then he accidentally hit Kurt Angle.
Way to go. SummerSlam 2000 all over again.
Exactly.
So,
trying to ruin my game.
Chris Jericho, Kirk Angel. But very cool. No, again, it just reminds me of how we played back then.
Yeah.
So,
and again, this was a great game. This was a great game to learn to relearn all the buttons, see how all the buttons work.
Yep.
Because for the life of me, I couldn't remember how to pin.
Oh, yeah.
I was just pressing everything.
Was it 2000 that had the the automatic kick out when you hit the
analog stick?
And I know we mentioned
2000.
We mentioned it once before and we got it wrong. So
I'm pretty sure it was 2000 because we used to cheat all the time.
Oh, 100%. I don't think and I don't think we all knew about it, but we never told each other.
Right.
So we were doing it and thinking we were tricking the other person. And we're like, wait a minute, why does he keep kicking out now?
Exactly. So naturally, here's the cheat codes.
Look at all those.
Yeah. These are the cheat codes that are already sitting in there. And then you can add a Game Shark code if you want to. If you look up the Game Shark codes, go for it. So threw in some F-Zero again. I used to be so good at this game, and then playing it now, my reflexes are terrible.
Yeah,
they are absolutely terrible. You'll see me fumbling through this, but again, just looking at how it runs,
smooth.
It's very smooth
as the N64 will go. So
yeah, exactly. But you don't see you're not really seeing frame drops. You're not seeing, it's not jumpy or jagged or any of that stuff. It just runs the way the game is supposed to run.
And we're not saying this as a cop-out, but if you did see something like that, again, it might just be because we're recording from a recording on Zoom. You know what I mean? So, and again, we're not just saying this to try and be like, try not to mock the Polymega, but there is, it's running smoothly. So
it does a really good job. I have to say, F-Zero, just playing this for a couple of minutes, reminded me of how much I loved this game, and I really wish they would come out with another one.
Yeah, we got an amuse-bouche with F-Zero 99.
So,
who knows? We'll see what happens.
So yeah, so we had some F-Zero going on. I came in fourth. It was very
exciting.
There
you go. Not bad at all.
Yeah, the second race I did not do as well. So we're gonna move on to. Oops, did I skip it?
No, you had it.
Sorry, I'm that's literally right. Spot checking as we go. So then I thought, go check out Mario Kart. And again,
what's that one in German?
Lots of codes in the Mario Kart.
Totally. There were more codes than I would have ever imagined. Yep.
So we'll get to my race.
Look at that. That's a beaut. This is where really Mario Kart took off, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. 64 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because going back playing the Super Nintendo one, I can't play it. It's so hard to play.
You're right. It's a little tougher now. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure, and we played it, I think, before we really started hanging out that we got it. Yeah, because it came out in like 91 or 92. You know, we definitely got our fair share of gameplay. But when this version came out, the N64,
when this version came out, it was like,
a literal game changer.
It really was. Between this and the wrestling games, like, that's all we did. And Mario Party.
Of course, Mario Party. Yeah,
you know, where we created holes in our hands.
Yes,
thank you, analog stick.
Well, let me ask you this: with the controller, with the proprietary controller being the Polymega, I mean, at this point, do you just feel comfortable enough to be like, let me continue with this controller, or are you just gonna just break out one of the legacy controllers, just run with that? I mean, there's really no, like, there's nothing special, for lack of a better term, on the Polymega controller. I don't think, like, there's no like turbo button or anything, so
no, none of that,
really no difference.
No, and to be honest with you, I'm probably just going to go to my original N64 controller. Oh, yeah. It's nice to it's nice to have the newer controller.
Totally.
But I'm very happy with the OG, so and I'll probably just be playing with that,
and with the weird analog stick that, you know, that now becomes the player two controller.
Yes. Well, no, I mean, I have five N64 controllers.
No, but this one doesn't work.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Yeah, so I'll give this to you when you play.
Exactly, and I'll totally forget about it.
It'll be perfect. All right, so moving on from Mario Kart, I think I may only have one or two more games that I tried out,
and
this was the last one I wanted to try because I loved this game. Star Fox 64 to me is one of the best games on the N64. Agreed. Hands down.
Agreed.
So, because who doesn't love Slippy?
Do a barrel roll. What was I gonna say? Did you play a lot of the Super Nintendo game? Did you even play the Super Nintendo game?
I didn't own the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, neither did I.
So this was my first foray into Star Fox. And when I played this, I absolutely fell in love. I was like, this is amazing. And then I finally got to play the Super Nintendo one for the first time on the NES Mini.
That was the first time you played it? Wow.
I think that was the first time I ever played it. Yeah.
Oh my God. I just made a horrible mistake in my life.
What
I was going to say was the only version of the Super Nintendo game that I owned was way back when Nintendo every now and again would put out like a catalog of theirs.
Okay.
And I purchased from their catalog the Star Fox. It's called the Star Fox Super Weekend Competition. It's kind of like the Nintendo World Championship cart,
where it just does like a snippet of the
game. It was weird. It was very odd. I think it was supposed to be like a 12-minute game or something. But like mine, I don't know why. Mine was like 6 minutes and 42 seconds. It was a very odd number.
Okay.
So I just did a search, you know, trying to remember the name of the cartridge and just take a look at it.
Okay.
And there's a used cart on eBay going for $6,499.
Wow.
And I cannot tell you that way before Hurricane Sandy, I this game disappeared on me.
Wow.
I'm very upset. I looked this up.
I'm very upset you looked it up. Because you could still, that'd be a great one to have.
That is, I mean.
But otherwise, like, I'm happy I have Star Fox 64. This game. Absolutely love this game.
Totally. And that's also where the Rumble Pack came into play for the first time.
Exactly. Well, yeah, the game came with the Rumble Pack.
It did.
Yep. That's where you got it. So.
Very cool.
Yeah. So really cool. Fun stuff. I played through the first level just for fun. Because I forgot at the end. It boxes you in to do the boss battle.
Yep.
Which was really cool. I had completely forgotten that. So,
awesome.
Yeah. All right. And then the last thing I did, just to run through it really quickly, I'm going to skip through all this Star Fox stuff, is I just did a run through of like how the games are organized.
Okay.
In the system, which is really cool. You'll see that in 2 seconds right here. So you can do them alphabetically, which is cool.
Oh yeah, this is cool. I like,
yeah, you can do them by genre.
Awesome.
This is where I learned that Mario Kart is apparently a racing 3D combat game.
In the likes of Twisted Metal.
Yeah, exactly.
Armageddon.
Sure, why not? So, so you can do it by a category if you're just looking for something. Category wise, my wrestling one is the largest.
Why do you have two Naginos?
So when I installed it,
and Pilot Wings, apparently
this is by players. 4, once 2. And then by year. So when I installed those games the first time, they didn't read properly, so I reinstalled them.
Okay.
And when I reinstalled them, it didn't get rid of the old one, so I have to go back in and get rid of one.
Yeah, fair enough.
So again, you can sort them by year, you can sort them by rating.
Yep.
So you can rate the games yourself and then have them that way.
Did I meant to ask this yesterday, so I'll ask it now. And I know the other it's not linked to the module itself because you have access to them already. Mm-hmm. But did Polymega offer like a free, because I know when you bought the Polymega base, you got like literally like 2 or 3 N64 Nintendo games, maybe 1 or 2 Genesis games, you know what I mean? Like they kind of gave you some free games. Did they do that with the N64
No, they did not do that. They had a hard enough time getting the firmware up. So for those who don't know, what happened was a lot of people got their Ultra 64s last week. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine actually in California, because it was shipping from California, he got his super early. Like he got his on like December 22nd or 23rd, like right before Christmas. But the issue was people were getting their Ultra 64s and you couldn't use them until the firmware update came out, and Polymega hadn't released the firmware update. So I got mine on the 27th, like 2 days after Christmas.
Okay.
And couldn't use it. Mm-hmm. Because there was no firmware update. Boo. And so then I went online on Reddit and stuff, and people were like, waiting for Polymega. I've emailed Polymega multiple times and Polymega's not responding.
They're hiding under the bed.
Yeah, they're hiding where they're like, oh no, we don't have firmware, sorry guys. So people are basically everybody pre-ordered this like a year ago. It was supposed to come out in the spring. Obviously it was delayed until now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everybody's like, what's going on? And we're hearing no response. Finally, the firmware dropped on Wednesday. I was out at the time and my friend was texting me saying, firmware just dropped. Do not download it. It's bricking people's consoles.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, wow. I was like, okay. So thankfully I was out, so I didn't download it. So mm-hmm. I came back home. I was reading all the vitriol online.
Yep.
And then Polymega pulled the firmware update.
Okay.
So they could figure out what the problem was. They eventually released it again later that day, but they gave a note saying, hey, there's an issue with 720p downloads.
Mm-hmm.
When you do the firmware update and the Polymega reboots, the screen will go black. Do not reset your Polymega while the screen is black. Wait for it to do it itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got home, that's exactly what I did. I followed their instructions. The screen went black for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then it rebooted and everything was fine.
Ah, people couldn't wait 30 seconds?
Well, because what happened, when your screen goes black and you're sitting there, you're like, wait, what's going on?
It does feel like an eternity, admittedly.
Yeah. So plus, I don't know if there was like a firmware, if there was an actual issue with the firmware update that they had to fix.
I did remember seeing their workaround.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
there was a crazy workaround for it.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, bottom line is like, thankfully my console didn't brick.
Good. Good.
Which is good. I will say that this happened when I first got the module. I did put it in the system. Because I'm like, ooh, I got the module. Let me just slide it in.
Yeah.
I didn't realize once I slid it in, it would automatically start reading it. And it did freeze the console.
Oh, I got you.
It froze the console. So I did have to shut it off manually and take the module out. Yeah, you could.
Bad module. Bad.
Yeah, bad. You cannot put the module in the console until the firmware update.
Oof.
So, but other than that, like everything's been great with it.
Good.
No issues at all.
Excellent.
Again, it's awesome having all those games on my Polymega, and it just grows my collection on that system even more. And I'm looking forward to the other modules arriving so I can do some more.
That's going to be awesome when you get all those and
yes.
You don't have to worry about any firmware. Those are already updated. And
exactly. Can't
wait, not to go into details like you did, but I'm just curious. I can't wait to hear your, your thoughts and everything on those modules. And keep in mind, again, you have now access to a ton of systems, North American, European, Japanese. But remember, the only system you don't have out of the box that you do need an adapter for is the Famicom.
Yes, I need a Famicom adapter. And I need And then 64 transfer pack.
Oh, the transfer pack, yeah.
Yep.
Transfer pack shouldn't be too hard to find in retail
stores. No, I don't think
in retro game stores. The Hyperkin puts out an amazing Famicom adapter for like $15 on Amazon right now.
Oh, nice. Which
I apparently ordered back in 2017.
Well, so, then I will get my hands on that.
I wonder if that was because I was getting so very cool, very glad that you got the and how would you add on a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate the Ultra 64 module for the Polymega?
I'll give it a 4 right now. The analog stick on the controller is a little bit of a
fair I
believe a little I bit of a that, pain yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see again, I haven't played a game in depth enough to be like, let me see if I run into any issues as I go along. So I'd give it a solid 4 right now.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And we're gonna start to get ready to wrap this up. It's New Year's. We don't have much news going on, but nope. It is New Year, and we told you we were gonna do this. We are bringing back one of our favorite actually segments that we were doing mm-hmm. last year, and Ant's got the helm on this one. We're bringing back Game of the Week.
We are bringing back Game of the Week. And for this week's Game of the Week, since I got the Ultra 64 module, it would only make sense that I would pick a Nintendo 64 game. And I will pick the one that that you actually saw me playing briefly that I really enjoyed. We are going to play Star Fox 64.
Yes.
For the N64 this week.
Awesome. So, folks, play if you have nothing else to do. If you don't know what game to pick from your massive library, take out Star Fox 64, play that. I'm going to drive back to Brooklyn, actually, to my parents' house, and rip the house apart to try and find the Star Fox competition cartridge that I purchased.
As you should. It's probably hiding somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. It's still there. I'm sure it's in the attic somewhere.
It's in the attic. Rip it apart and show it off next week. And then we can all be jealous.
And with that, we'll wrap everything up then. But for the new year, and really, it's nothing's changed. And where can they find us?
You guys can find us at facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast, on Instagram at retrogamerspodcast, on Twitter at retrogamerspod. Larry was drinking, so he couldn't say X. Ha ha. You can listen to us.
I said it into the bottle.
You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube at retrogamerspodcast, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Yes. And with that, we'll call it a week, and we're going to call it a new year. So, Ant, happy new year.
Have a happy new year as well, sir, and to everybody else out there as well.
Yes, happy and healthy. And folks, we'll catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast. Oh, did I record it this time?